You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Greg Bach, you amazing super producer. I know what you did. I saw that there.
What?
Thank you. You know what you did. I know what you did there. Good morning, everybody. I'll get to the regular show up in just a moment here. Greg knew that, you know, when we picked the new music, and I kind of like this new little ditty, but I wasn't as crazy about the little bongos at the very front.
Oh.
And it was just a little tune. I don't play the bongos. But I don't mind the rest of the tune. And Greg, just out of nowhere, he starts the music without the bongos. It just goes right into it. And you thank you for that.
When do I tell Pat that I did that last week?
That's so nice.
Oh, well, yeah.
Maybe it was because this time I wasn't racing at 60 miles an hour to try to get everything done. I actually got my work done ahead of time.
The original version you heard on the day we switched over, which was 1 week ago today, was also very loud.
It was, yes. So maybe, see, honestly, what I was thinking just now was, oh, here come those bongos. I should tell Greg that we should start with the bongos, and then I'm just going to start talking right at the bongos and go, no, let's just get right into the show. And instead, there were no bongos. This was great. Shiju on YouTube. Happy Wednesday, Pat and Greg. Yes, it is.
Wow.
So now, I mean, do you have the music handy? Do you want to start it again or no?
I can do it if you'd like, yeah.
Just the first little bit so that we have all the stuff I wrote. I should really say it.
Oh, sure.
Here. Okay, here we go. There we go. Okay. Hey, good morning, Wisconsin. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app or watching us on YouTube or Facebook, catching us by podcast. Thanks for starting your day right here. And we really are starting it for real now. I got a question for you. How did we end up with a government so hostile to even the concept of immigrants that its only plan to address a labor shortage is to ask people to make more babies or to put off retirement from one of the most stressful jobs in the country? Sean Duffy, the Secretary of Transportation, is the latest in the Trump White House to hint at making retirement tougher, in this case for air traffic controllers, in order to address a shortage that has led to major delays. We'll have that coming up during this half hour. Also today, Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan is getting plenty of bipartisan, high-powered legal help in addressing her politically motivated address by President Trump's FBI. We'll ask the question, how is lead paint still a thing in Milwaukee schools? If you're not familiar with the issue of how lead paint is still poisoning children in Milwaukee schools, you can be forgiven for asking, really? So our guest from the Wisconsin Public Education Network has some background in this week's homeroom segment. Melissa Baldoff has our climate check at 8:30. We'll get into the power play for power lines. A new bill raises this point. Should Wisconsin utilities get an advantage when it comes to new transmission line projects? Or does that kind of an advantage stifle competitions? It's a question that does not cut neatly across party lines, which is kind of unusual, almost refreshing in state legislatures. We'll talk to Melissa about that. If you miss Dan Schaefer at his new time, Tuesdays at 8:30, fear not, we'll play parts of it back Wednesdays at 6:30, including his thoughts on if the Milwaukee Bucks were to be eliminated on Tuesday night. Spoiler alert! I'll get into that in a minute. And the media goes into hero worship mode for Donald Trump as he marks 100 days of mayhem. Here's the Wisconsin forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another little system nudges into the state today. I love her way with words. But then we'll get a break in the rain by the weekend. So the forecast for today, sunny to start, Clouds increasing later. Highs in the low to mid 60s statewide, a southeast wind at 10 miles an hour. For tonight, cloudy with areas of light rain, especially in the southeastern half of Wisconsin. Lows will be in the upper 30s up north, low 40s in the south with a southeast wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cue the part where Pat continues to grouse about morning temperatures in the 30s, because here we go again. It's 33 here in Chippewa Falls, 34 in Hayward, 35 in Amory, 36 in Wausau, 37 in Rapids. La Crosse is at 41, Green Bay 36, Madison 39, and in the Milwaukee area right now, it is 37 degrees. If you'd like to join the program along the way here, 855-75-CIVIC, you can call or text that number. We'll see the texts here and maybe put those up on screen. Same goes for the comment sections in YouTube and Facebook. We see them here, might pop them up on screen and respond to them. And of course, you can always use that Civic Media app to call or text the show as well. If you didn't know before, yes, you did. Greg Bach is standing by at Radio Park and Racine.
I'm sitting by, folks.
Yes, you are. Shiju says, but cold mornings make fluffy warm blankets the best.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just say something?
Well, yes.
The house was so warm the other day because it was like 80 degrees two nights ago. Yeah. So we opened the windows. We let the air in, and I turned the fan on, and when I woke up this morning, it was freezing cold, but I was, like, cuddled under my blankets. I'm like, this is the best morning ever.
Yeah, see?
I love
Shizu's right.
Shizu is very right.
That's right. Let's see. It was a busy day yesterday for the Joint Finance Committee meeting in Wausau. Cassandra writes in, signed in to the Joint Finance Committee meeting shortly after 9 o'clock yesterday morning.
Oofers.
Finally spoke at 6:15 last evening. That's why, again, former legislator here, I wasn't on the Joint Finance Committee, but I went to meetings like these when they do the roadshow. They've done them in Eau Claire and other places. And I want the Joint Finance Committee out there. I want them out there on the road, listening to people, telling them why they want to do the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of a system where you register at 9 in the morning, and you may not speak till 6 in the evening, I don't think is the right way to go about doing this anymore.
I think it's very strategic.
Yes, I believe it is too. So I think with a committee makeup this way, 12 Republicans and 4 Democrats, which by the way, it shouldn't be 12 and 4. We have a legislature that's almost 50-50 now with new maps. But it's the Republicans who said, nope, we still want 12 and you get 4. So there. But if you accept that it's 12 and 4, then split the committee into 4 parts. And so that's 1 Democrat and 4 Republicans, and go into, you know, get 4 different locations or 4 different rooms in the same location, whatever, and let more people give their input. People know that they're not going to get everything they want, but they want at least the opportunity to tell their elected officials how they would like this to go. And so Cassandra writes in, public school and special education were more than 50% of the requests that she heard. Child care was the next highest. And like I was just saying, there's no guarantee the Republican legislators are going to listen to you when you say, please, sir, may I have some more for special education and public education and child care. But you should at least get the opportunity to talk to your legislators. So now that's done. They've done their 4 hearings across the state. So I'm again going to share an email address with you. I don't know what's happening with my throat today. Am I turning into Robert Kennedy Jr.?
All right.
Anyway, here's that email address. If you'd like to comment on what you think should be in the next state budget, the email address is budget.comments@legis.wisconsin.gov. budget.comments@legis.wisconsin.gov. And yes, they do get read, and yes, they do get talked about. So be sure to do that and have a little bit of input into the process. Our daily newsletter, you can get that over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And today, Christina Laurie puts in a lot about the Brewers and American Family Field. She talks about the first person to ever serve as Bernie Brewer.
Ooh.
And the person who inspired the beloved mascot, it was a 69-year-old fan, Milt Mason,
right?
Who, who decided to sit on top of the scoreboard until the team drew a home crowd of 40,000. He was there for 40 days until August 16th of 1970, when 44,387 fans showed up for a game against Cleveland. Mason was so excited, he slid down a rope from his perch, burning his hands and legs. But he was recognized as the original Bernie Brewer. And then there's stories in here as well about concession prices, which I know are expensive everywhere. But she lists the league averages for things like hot dogs and mm-hmm. beer. And you'll like this one. Beer per ounce. The price at American Family Field averages about 69 cents an ounce. But the range in the major leagues is anywhere from 33 cents an ounce to 99 cents an ounce, a buck an ounce for a beer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know. So anyway, she's got that and more notes about how great it is to go to a ball game there at American Family Field. So again, sign up for the newsletter at UpNorthNewsWI.com. I just got a little distracted here because I believe Cassandra's got a couple of more things in here about being at the Joint Finance Committee. Oh, she says, at the time I spoke, I basically threw out my prepared words and simply said, the majority of people are telling you what we need and want. And then she says, OMG, I almost forgot, Brittany Kinzer testified, asking for an increase in special education funding. Well, good for her.
Yeah.
Brittany Kinzer coming off, losing the state superintendent race. Mm-hmm. But again, getting out there and saying to legislators, you should hike special education funding. So good on her for doing that.
And that was the thing when you interviewed her a couple months mm-hmm. ago, month and a half ago or 30 years ago. that was the thing I really felt about her was that she was very, very passionate about education and special education. And I think that's very important. I opinions about her running all aside, I felt like she at least has a mission, and that's good that she's sticking by those guns and that she is continuing to move forward on that.
Yes, very much so. Again, people can have genuine disagreements, and I think that she genuinely feels like the more that you can have, vouchers and private schools out there, that it's going to be better for all kids overall. I just happen to disagree. But we also agree on the notion that special education funding, across Wisconsin should be way, way better. And so for her to speak up like that at a Joint Finance Committee hearing, I hope that really sits well with some of the Republican legislators. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run out of time to talk about this, but we've put it off for a couple of different days here. Have you seen since Sunday's announcement who is going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, yes. I have opinions.
Do you? Okay, so I want to tuck that in the back pocket,
yep.
But I just want to share it because it's been in my notes and I keep forgetting to come back to it. So we'll come back to this later. But if you missed it, going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame later this year, Bad Company, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Soundgarden, and the White Stripes. And then both Salt-N-Pepa and Warren Zevon will be recognized with a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Musical Influence Award, the award concert, and that concert's huge. It's every year. It's November 8th on Disney Plus.
It's like 4 hours.
Yes, it's on Hulu November 9th, and then it'll be a condensed part of it will be on ABC probably sometime in late December around the holidays or so. Brewers beat the White Sox. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And the Bucks, they were eliminated in maybe the dumbest way possible. So we'll talk about that as well, along with Dan Schaefer. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Wrightlum.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wouldn't this be great to come into this and go, your Milwaukee Bucks are advancing in the playoffs on their way to world domination, rather than they lost in the dumbest way possible. And I don't take it just from me. Adam on YouTube, it was indeed the dumbest way to lose. Here's the deal. I had the game on for a while in the background. I saw that the Bucks were up 7 with 45 seconds left in regulation. And we had other things going on in our house to turn the TV off. I'm like, okay, there will be a game 6 or whatever. Bucks up 7, 45 seconds left. Imagine my surprise to look at my phone a few minutes later and see that they were in the late stages of overtime. But again, the Bucks were ahead by a margin where they should have been okay. But 2 turnovers in the last 30 seconds of overtime leads to Tyrese Halliburton blowing past Giannis for a go-ahead layup with 1.3 seconds left to close out an 8-0 run for the Pacers to send them on past the Bucks, eliminating the Bucks 119 to 118 for a 4-1 series victory. And I, of course, went back to the TV, turned it on. We've got a DVR so I could rewind things. I'm looking at that last 30 seconds, and I'm just like, yeah, that's just typical, you know? Adam writes, if you haven't heard Giannis's interview after the game regarding the interaction, it was definitely worth a listen. That's because Halliburton's father kind of started a shoving match after the game. So, I mean, it was just a terribly ugly way to lose. And again, we're Bucks fans here. We wanted the Bucks to advance, yeah. But they got something. They got some kind of a mental block. Injuries don't help, of course. Dan Schaefer's going to talk a bit about this in 10 minutes.
I was on Twitter just out of nowhere. Like, I don't go on Twitter a whole lot anymore, but all of a sudden I just saw the tweets coming through. I'm like, oh, is the game almost over? I'm like, oh no, they lost. And Dan tweeted, no words. I go, please find some by Friday. But I think it was Tony 2 days ago, or maybe it was last week, who said it best. Bucks in 26.
Yes, Bucks in 26. It ain't happening in 25, that's for sure.
I think Doc Rivers got to go.
And
he's not an effective coach.
No, and we're not the only ones who think so. Again, Dan Schaefer on in 10 minutes. The Brewers back in action in Chicago. They beat the lowly White Sox 7-2. The Brewers have now won 11 of their last 12 games against the White Sox. Would that the Bucks could have that kind of record against the Pacers. Anyway, Isaac Collins hit his first career home run for the Brewers. Freddie Peralta pitched 6 innings, gave up only 2 runs. The Brewers they're still on that 10-game road trip, the longest road trip of the season. They're now 3-5, so they can still salvage going 500 on this road trip, but they would have to win tonight and again tomorrow afternoon. The coverage for tonight's game starts at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations, and then the Cubs are at American Family Field to play the Brewers starting on Friday. Okay, I was not really planning to talk about the delays at the Newark Airport the other day. But I have to after hearing what Sean Duffy had to say about it. We know that there is a shortage of air traffic controllers. We know that the infrastructure for our air traffic control system needs help. And by needs help, I don't mean cut a check to Elon Musk and let him do whatever he wants with it. Because I've watched his rockets blow up. There are other ways that you can go about improving the air traffic control system. But we've had a labor shortage there as well. Baby boomers retiring. It's an incredibly stressful job, one of the most stressful jobs out there. And yet the government hasn't been hiring at a pace to prevent the shortages. Now, bring President Bolin a China shop into the mix, firing people left and right, telling people through Elon Musk, we want you to quit, we want you to retire, and things get worse. And you're cutting budgets so you can't replace the equipment. And you get things like what happened at the Newark Airport with issues with the power, with the radar, with the shortage of air traffic controllers. And so there were massive delays Sunday into Monday at one of New York City's 3 big airports. So I'm looking at this clip from the local affiliate in New York City, ABC7. So you're going to hear that reporter briefly. And then you're going to hear Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy, the Secretary of Transportation, commenting on Fox and Friends about what we ought to do about this. And we'll comment on the other side.
Three radar scopes went black. They lost all the radios that approached.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says he, too, was stuck at Newark Airport.
We're 3,000 controllers short. Mm-hmm. And so right now we're working with the union. So when they hit 25 years, they can retire. Or if they hit 56, they can retire. How do we encourage air traffic controllers to stay on a little bit longer, serve their country longer?
No.
That is so...
No. No.
Slimy.
Don't give me the... How do we get our to serve their country longer? From the most stressful job, please stay on it a little longer. We only thought of this now, asking you to stay. And how many times we've heard from Republicans in Congress and the legislature, well, we just need to entice people not to retire early. They spend years trashing federal workers, government workers. They spend years trashing people as lazy and saying, well, they just want to sit at home instead of wanting to work like we all did. You can't do their job.
No.
And you certainly weren't supportive of efforts to pay them properly. You are still living off of what Ronald Reagan did to them, you know, more than 40 years ago, thinking that, oh, yeah, tough love. That's the way to go. I also have another Sean Duffy comment about, you know, cars in New York City and how, you know, people have to ride those icky, dirty subways. It's like, why are you all so afraid of cities and why are you so afraid of immigrant labor that the only thing you can suggest out there is, well, put off your retirement, okay, and you guys over there, you make more babies and everything will be fine. You know, we could just do what America's done and fix immigration and let people come in and start doing some work. They want to be here. They just want a country that welcomes them the way that we used to. Hey, we're live from Chippewa Falls. The Midwest Farm Report is next, followed by Dan Schaefer here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Runs the recombobulation area, the Civic Media political editor. And before we do political talk with Dan Schaefer, it's time for sports talk with Dan Schaefer. The Bucks need to, you know what I'm going to say next, trade Giannis.
Nope. I can't hear those two words in that order.
And yet,
under
here we
any
are.
Circumstances.
Here we are again. The struggle was happening before Dame Lillard went down with a torn Achilles, right? So he's out for a good long time.
Those injuries can go for about a year. So that's really tough. Really tough.
Yeah. Not great at all, but can you peg it on anything in particular, or was it a cavalcade of things?
I think it's that cavalcade. I think there are many factors contributing to the Bucks not being especially competitive this year. I think, you know, they're still a good team. They're in the playoffs. As long as you have Giannis, you have a chance to win any game. But I think, you know, the Bucks being a championship contender, I was not coming into these playoffs with expectations that I would be hanging another banner here in Recombobulation Area headquarters. If you can see behind me,
yes,
I have a Bucks banner behind me. Didn't expect to be hanging another one this year. Was hoping that, you know, perhaps they could make a little bit of a surprise run, but you know, they came into the series and they were not favored to win, and I was not exactly expecting them to win. So I don't think Doc Rivers has done a particularly great job as coach. I don't think the roster around Giannis and Damian Lillard has been really the type of high-level competitive roster that you need to put together to make a championship run. And, you know, the great teams that we have had here in Milwaukee for the past, you know, almost, you know, however many years that the championship window has been open, kind of feels like this is the moment when that championship window is really getting slammed shut, which is quite the bummer.
And it is unfortunate because we risk turning into the Anaheim Angels all those years they had Mike Trout and just could not do anything with one of the best players around. It's certainly not the only time this has happened in sports, but it leaves you longing saying we could have done so much more. I can't leave sports without talking about the NFL draft being up in Green Bay. Well, what did you think of that? It seemed like it went awfully well.
Yeah, I was so impressed by, I didn't get a chance to go, but now I'm kind of regretting that I didn't go. I wasn't really, you know, I'm an NFL fan, but I didn't want to stand around listening to picks for like an entire day with 120,000 people or whatever it was, 200,000 people. But it seems like just from all the reports and all the, you know, talk of people being there that Green Bay did a phenomenal job. And I think you got to give, it up for Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy here. This, you know, coming at the end of his tenure as president and CEO, he's passing the torch. You know, what a concept, passing the torch once you reach a certain age in leadership. I wonder if there's anything that can be learned from that in any capacity.
Maybe.
But I think, you know, I think this is really the crowning achievement for Murphy and for Packers fans, and just, you know, bringing this type of event. He said they're never going to have a Super Bowl at Lambeau, and having the second biggest event of the year that the NFL hosts every year there. I think it was a pretty remarkable experience for all involved. So kudos to the city of Green Bay and Merrick Enrich and Mark Murphy and all the good people up in northeastern Wisconsin.
Well, since you mentioned Mayor Genrich, you know that we had him on an hour earlier talking about the column that he wrote for the Recombobulation Area about what Democrats need to do differently in 2026. And so we heard from him in his own words last hour, but for folks who missed it, and certainly your impressions having looked at and published the column, what did you make of his prescription for Democrats so that they don't take for granted the success of the Wisconsin Supreme Court race moving forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was thrilled to have an opportunity to publish that piece. And I think, you know, there's so much of it that I agree with Merrick Enrich on. I think what, you know, one of the points that he made that I think really stood out to me is that there's almost like there's this divide between action and inaction in certain corners of the Democratic Party. I think there's certain Democrats who get too comfortable once they get elected. And I think what he was talking about with certain projects that were part of, you know, the bipartisan infrastructure law or the Inflation Reduction Act, and those things taking really a while to get moving, to see the impact from positive legislation that I supported, legislation that I think would be a good thing. But, you know, so many of those aspects of that law have just taken a really long time for people to actually see the effects of them. I think there's going to be, you know, a lot of groundbreakings from that law that might happen, you know, now under Donald Trump's presidency. So I think, you know, that is a really key aspect of it. You have to deliver for people, and you have to show them that the government is working for them. And can't, you know, and I think there's certain ideological aspects that he talks about as well. And, you know, kind of leaning into the economic populism side of the party in particular. But I think it's also, you know, part of it is just action versus inaction, and just like the ability of Democrats to actually show people that they're getting things done and getting things done quickly.
I think it relates a lot to what Chad Holmes and I were talking about recently when it comes to court cases, whether they involve Donald Trump or Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney with the absentee ballot drop box removal, is that the longer those things go on, the more frustrated people get. And the same goes for these projects. I mean, there's a role for regulations. There's a role for safeguards. But if you know, aren't also triaging the process, whether it's a court calendar or building a bridge or expanding broadband, you're going to lose the people who would benefit the most. Now they talk about blowing up the system, but as I discussed with Mayor Genrich, when you blow up the system, you often end up blowing up the things that were actually working on your behalf. And that's what we're seeing now, certainly in these first 100 days of the Trump administration.
I can't believe it's only been 100 days, right? We're at this 100-day marker. I think everybody in the national media universe is talking about these 100 days. I feel like I've got a few more gray hairs in my beard after these 100 days, that's for sure.
There's only how many more days did we say yet to go? 1,300 and something. So buckle up, everybody.
Yep. But you know, just one example that Mayor Genrich talked about in his column was that, you know, we have to have a more effective people-focused government at state, local, and federal levels. What we don't want, and I'm quoting right from him here, is a Department of Transportation that imposes a regulatory regime so stultifying that it takes 10 years to replace a bridge. in downtown Green Bay. Like, these are the type of things that have to happen more quickly. We can't, the gears of government have to move more quickly. And I think there is this divide, I think, in Democratic politics where it is action versus inaction. And you're seeing that in kind of the response to Trump's first 100 days, too. I think you have some leaders saying that, you know, oh, we just have to like wait and you know, Trump will cause all these problems of his own. And then I think you have other leaders saying, you know, we need to bring the fight to him everywhere that he can. And I tend to agree with the latter of the different blocks of Democrats right now.
And I think that you have to keep things in front of people. It's part of the column that I read and am publishing today about Trump's 100 days. Is you look at those elections in Canada that just took place and the surprising win by the Liberals, but look at what they did. They ran against Donald Trump and highlighted all of the ways that he has insulted or economically hurt the country. And if you don't have that same kind of attitude toward the American public, if you just assume they're going to know that all these things are happening, they're not. And they end up making votes based on vibes rather than on the actual things that are taking place. So the people who are engaging in this ongoing series of demonstrations and marches and everything else, I think they'd be wise not to lose the momentum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there was a speech from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker over the weekend that he gave in New Hampshire. It was just talking about, you know, some Democratic leaders are going off to do podcasts and some are really bringing the fight. And I think that's what we need to see from every level, I think, too. And I think, you know, we saw the Hannah Dugan arrest here in Milwaukee County last week. And, you know, that's an opportunity. We got a lot of statements from a lot of elected officials in the hours and days that followed that. But I think that arrest is just the tip of the iceberg for what's happening with ICE, with immigration enforcement and what have you. And I think it's going to be really important for people to be vigilant on all levels.
There were people in the immediate aftermath calling on Governor Evers to eventually say that he was going to use the National Guard to protect judges and courthouses in the future. I don't know that that was a realistic path because, the president could just federalize them the way he did, you know, with in Little Rock, Arkansas back in the late 1950s. But the point was being to take some kind of action, even if that action is, again, continuing to remind people this is not normal, what is happening here. And we're seeing it now with more judges. We just spoke about Judge Isham up north, mm-hmm. saying that, again, they want some guidelines on how to handle these things. And instead of guidelines, they're getting Tom Tiffany, Romaine Quinn, and others saying, well, maybe these judges ought to just leave office. I mean, we're setting up nothing but confrontations here, which certainly seems like Donald Trump's recipe for success.
And it's like there's this Trumpian paradox at play for this too, right? Where he's so about, you know, he says he's about law and order and in enforcing legal immigration or whatever. So, well, you shouldn't have to break the law and trample the Constitution to do that. You know, it's like you're breaking the law to enforce the law. It's mind-boggling, the approach being taken here.
One text I want to take care of off the text line from Mark in Sussex. For 30 years, Democrats have said that Republicans are going to take your Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's the big lie this station spews. Remember the Paul Ryan ad, sending Granny over the cliff. Mark, I will say again, that wasn't because they wouldn't have gotten away with it if they could have gotten away with it. And this time around, with this budget process, they are very close, Dan, to getting away with it, which is why we're still talking about it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been such a huge part of Republican politics over the years, just going after the quote unquote entitlements. And, you know, if they were able to do it, they would do it.
The recombobulation area has a happy hour coming up. And I say that I've been proud to say that Up North News, you know, held its first ever public event not long ago, that forum about the state Supreme Court race. It was so fun to do it. It was so great to meet people who had, you know, been reading Up North News or following us on the radio. And now you're doing this kind of a happy hour. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Yeah, we've got a happy hour coming up at one of my favorite breweries in Milwaukee, Third Space Brewing. We're getting together on Thursday evening, 5 to 7. All are welcome, but if you are a paid subscriber to the recombobulation area, your first round is on us. So we are looking forward to getting together and sharing in some community. And one of our priorities at the recombobulation area has always not just been about, you know, producing great content covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, but also about building a community around that. And we get that online sometimes when people share a photo in front of the actual recombobulation area at Milwaukee's airport. And we get that sometimes when we have these little events from time to time, like we have this Thursday at Third Space Brewing in Milwaukee. So again, all are welcome. But if you are a paid subscriber, your first beer is on us. How about that?
I think that's great. As a paid subscriber, I'll be looking for my drink ticket in the mail, and then that I can cash it in at some future point here. Dan Schaefer, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, Pat. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, hey, today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings up north and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And a reminder, sign up for our newsletters, plural newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This one here is for anybody that says, hey, Pat, hey, Greg, do you guys play any Glenn Campbell other than Wichita Lineman? Well, there you go, because Glenn Campbell's Southern Nights was the number one song in the United States of America this day in 1977, 48 years ago today.
I mean, we do, but I'm not exactly thrilled. I mean, I love Glenn Campbell. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But you just don't know how much I love that song, everyone.
As much as I don't like Southern Nights, I'd never warmed up to it. But it was, you know, that and Rhinestone Cowboy, two of my least favorite Glenn Campbell songs, are the ones that everybody knows because they were on the pop charts. You know?
And the only thing Southern, like, Guardians of the Galaxy really brought Southern Nights back into, like, you're like, oh, this is fun. It's, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, good on the late, great Glenn Campbell. George Washington became the first president of the United States this day in 1789, taking the oath of office in New York City. The Louisiana Purchase was made with France on this day in 1803, instantly doubling the size of the young country for the paltry price of $15 million.
Wow.
Yeah. It's now time for the Chippewa Valley segment of today's music.
Wow, Chippewa Falls is really depressing.
Hey.
Oh, this, come this, on!
And say it was wrong. This, of course, would be from Bon Iver.
Yeah.
And Justin Vernon, who has a birthday today. He's 44 years old.
He is a nice young man.
Yes,
he's
he is.
Very, very nice.
Yes. And I like, as I'm looking at the notes here, that you jumped in and corrected my spelling of Bon Iver. I didn't have the space in there. So what kind of a Chippewa Valley resident am I that I didn't have it right, you know?
You didn't even have to admit that. It would just give them, you know.
I know.
And that was more of my thing of like, it's not spaced. I can't. Yep. I'll think about it tonight.
Oh, I go back into these show notes after the show if I want to fix a spelling or something.
Yeah.
For no reason. Yeah. For no reason at all.
I get you.
Yep. On this day in 1885, the governor of New York signed legislation creating Niagara State Park, ensuring that Niagara Falls would not be devoted solely to industrial and commercial use. And as I say every day on that year, you see what happens when you don't have a group like Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce, all that pristine land and water just going to waste when it could be used for industrial purposes.
Exactly.
Where's WMC in 1885 when you need them?
Man,
you
know? America's sad now.
Yes, I know. Let's see. The Young Rascals had the number one song in the country this day in 1966.
One, two, three. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
On this day in 1973, President Richard Nixon escalated the growing Watergate scandal by firing one of the White House attorneys, White House counsel John Dean, preparing to make John Dean the scapegoat for the Watergate break-in and cover-up. It didn't work.
No.
John Dean later cooperated with authorities and helped uncover the smoking gun. He talked about how there was a cancer developing in the White House because of the Watergate cover-up. He went on to write many books about how the Republican Party, the metamorphosis from Barry Goldwater conservative to the authoritarian state that it's in right now. Kirsten Dunst is 43 years old today. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, is 40 years old today. Rapper Travis Scott is 34 today. Travis Scott is, I guess, a better rapper name than Jacques Webster, his birth name.
His name is Jacques Webster II. I would listen. That is an amazing name, Jacques Webster II.
Well, see, now he's got the chance to come out with, you know, kind of like Slim Shady. He can make up a persona and do something entirely different. So Jacques, Travis, the ball's in your court, buddy.
There you go.
One more number one song this week in 1983, Michael Jackson.
No. Disappear.
On this week in 1988, the Eurovision Song Contest. I've never been big into it, but you hear about it every year or so.
Yeah.
It's a big deal in Europe, obviously.
Yes.
On this day in 1988, an unknown Canadian singer was the winner of the Eurovision Song Contest. This unknown Canadian singer was named Celine Dion.
Who?
Who? Yeah. People would not be saying that much longer after that. Today is National Guide Dog Day. Today is National Bubble Tea Day. It's Oatmeal Cookie Day.
Okay. If there's nothing else around.
Yeah. And if they're fresh. You know, they got to be fresh. Boy, an oatmeal cookie, you just don't if it's not. It's Mr. Potato Head Day.
Nice.
Celebrate that. Yep. And it's Jazz Day.
Ooh. Nice. I love jazz.
Yeah.
Have you ever picked up oatmeal cookie? Thinking it's a chocolate chip cookie,
and it's oatmeal raisin.
And you're like, oh, yes.
Yep. I have found a way to get the best of both worlds. First, I'm going to say that Shizu writes on YouTube, going to get me all the boba, which would be the bubble tea.
I need a boba tea place around here. There's not really boba tea in Racine and or Kenosha. I don't think.
Really?
I don't think so. I'll look. I love boba tea. The only problem is there's so much ice that you're like, oh, I paid $7 for 4 ounces of liquid.
I've only had it once, and it was like intriguing. I'm not ready to render a judgment yet, one way or the other.
Oh, I feel like you've judged.
No, I want to try it again. It was so unusual. Anyway, I created the best of both worlds. My chocolate chip cookies have a little bit of oatmeal in there for texture. That's how you do it.
Okay.
Unless you really like a fresh oatmeal cookie. Hey, remember when I was doing the shows from Idaho and the 6-year-old and I, we went to the Minecraft movie?
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, it had kind of silly things like that. There was that silly song about Steve's lava chicken. You still got that handy?
Yeah, I think I still have that one. I think it's a...
Okay.
Lava chicken. Steve's lava chicken, oh yeah.
So for folks watching on social media, he finally got the t-shirt I sent him as a belated Easter present, Steve's lava chicken for the t-shirt. You're welcome, buddy. Much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio. No.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.